Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I am, and how are you?
Younger than I was yesterday. Actually, it's funny. I've been watching. I want to be younger. I have expressed that desire to my father, and my wife commented, "Hey, you look younger today." I said, "Thank you." Rather than come up with that, "Oh, it's just the light," or some other ridiculous comment to put it off, I said, "Thank you."
You do. You look at least a year younger.
I'm on my way to feeling a year younger, too. So I am extremely interested in reversing the process of aging. And I'm extremely interested in part two. And you cover a couple of things in there that I would like to get a little deeper on. Can we talk for a bit?
Fire away.
Well, the first thing that just jumped up to me was that you specified there is a father that rules over the chief ruler of the physical realm on the planet Earth. Now, I'm just wondering, can you explain to me why you specified on the planet Earth? And I don't mean to nitpick. I'm just curious that you would say that. I don't remember Jesus specifying that it had to do with this planet Earth.
I guess, since you asked the question, it seems to me, and what's hitting me right now, thank you, Daddy, the birds of the air, the fowl of the air, all the metaphors he used weren't, I don't know, maybe he did use stars and stuff, but I don't recall.
Well, I don't recall either, but, you know, and I don't recall, quite frankly, and I need some help here, Jesus referring to him as the chief ruler of the physical realm. You are paraphrasing to the extreme, are you not?
No, actually, that is a direct, accurate translation.
Oh, okay.
From the Greek, you know, he spoke in Aramaic, so who knows if the guy who wrote in Greek with that particular one, and they all did, was accurately translating. And then by the time you Mickey Mouse it around with English.
But what I'm asking you about is chief ruler of the physical realm.
Well, it appears that the chief ruler of the physical realm was a part of Elohim, was one of the spirit parts at the beginning. That's what it appears to, and many scholars say that. Certain ones don't, but I find their arguments rather tenuous, to say the least.
Okay. So if I accept what you're saying, that Christ referred to him as the chief ruler of the physical realm, does that automatically refer to your statement, which is a very powerful statement, that the all Christian, organized Christian groups are ruled by money?
And, well, I'm saying to the extent they're ruled by money, then they're ruled by mammon. I will say that I don't know of any Christian groups that aren't ruled by money, but, you know, I don't know them all.
Okay. Let's just assume that most of them are, because they need money to function.
Yeah. In the same vein, I need, you know, I'm ruled by mammon in that regard, too.
Okay, because your physical body is part of the system created by the chief ruler of this physical realm.
Wow, you think so?
Well, is it? It's a question.
You know, that's an argument that there's no winning. Because let us make man was the statement of a voice out of Elohim. Let us make man. And they created man. Now, however, that man, I am told by a couple of guys that I thought were rather reliable in their translation, but they may not have been. One was an ex-rabbi who had joined the Jews for Jesus organization in San Francisco. He insists that number one, he insists that the archangel, whether you call him Satan or Lucifer or Mammon, was part of that created, quote, man in the first chapter of Genesis. There's so much stuff in there that you just can't prove, and you can get commentators that will talk about it all around the horn on that stuff. Why are we talking about that, by the way?
Well, because it's germane to your point, and you build a point just like any other reporter or propaganda expert might do so. And for the first point, the foundation of what you say further on is based on Christ stating that the chief ruler of the physical realm on the planet Earth is the guy who's in charge of money and Christianity, and even further, would have then by inference has facilitated this system, this religious system we call heaven and the afterlife.
Would you repeat that again?
Sure. Further on in your story, you're building a case here, almost like a some sort of attorney or propaganda expert. But the foundation of your case is the words of Christ saying that there are two fathers, and one is the chief ruler of the physical realm on the planet Earth, and he controls things like money, and then through inference, he controls the Christian groups who are ruled by money, and the Christian groups then present heaven and an afterlife. Well, are they doing so erroneously? Are they doing so because they're ruled over by this chief ruling spirit, small g God that you're talking about? Or like that's the progression that you make in your article.
Wow. I'm going to say innocent or not guilty, Your Honor, that I was trying to build that particular point because I wasn't. That wasn't in my mind at all.
Okay, so it wasn't. But that's the way my mind is reading it. My mind says that there's a foundation to your statement, the point that you're trying to make in the article, and you build off that foundation, and then that you end up towards the middle of the article making this statement. One of the things the religious have done to us in their argument that there's an afterlife, which they refer to as heaven, is build a tradition which is basically understood that this parallel existence, popularly referred to as heaven, is entered into only at the death of the physical body bag we occupy. So,
well, would you agree with that statement?
I do agree with that statement. But I'm not sure that many of our listeners or readers would agree with that statement. I mean, many of them may still be holding on to the concept of heaven because it's been so firmly planted into their belief system that's why it's important that everybody convert to the cause of Christ so that we get to see them again in the afterlife in heaven. And here's the resistance that I'm presenting to you. If I let go of that belief that I don't have to die and let go of my physical body to enter heaven, then I'm going to have to let go of seeing the people that were dear and special and important in my life. Because that's bill of goods.
Well, I don't have an answer for you because I'm not sure the other is true and I don't know where it comes from.
Well, your article suggests that it comes from the father of lies through the Christian leadership.
just because Mammon or whatever you want to call him rules certain Christian groups. That's a broad-based statement. My wife says I'm being evil when I do that, or harmful. I'm potentially harmful when I do that. And as I tell her, look, I'm just trying to wake up people. There is no answer to some of these things. However, there is one answer that you can prove. And there is the answer you can prove to yourself, if you'll do it, is persist, as Jesus said to persist, to go and get your answers from Daddy, the spiritual father of us, directly. And that's not an easy breakthrough. You know that. Am I right or am I wrong?
You are right, but I'm seeing this paragraph that I just read back to you as a very strong source of resistance. Not in me, but in most people involved in some form of organized religion, because that's the expectation.
I think that probably 75% of the things that I say do create problems for Christians, and I would say that 97% of the things that Jesus said create problems for most Christians.
We're on this journey to discover where we're going to end up. And you're making,
thank God, because he's leading us.
You are making a pretty strong statement about the concept of death and afterlife and release of the body bag to arrive at this wonderful heavenly place that's been painted in our minds and depicted for us since we went to Sunday school. Now, you say that there's another alternative.
Yeah, I'm not saying the former is wrong or in error. I'm just saying nobody looks at the alternatives that are clearly laid out and some that aren't laid out.
So the alternative that you present in your article, at least at first, is that without faith it's impossible to please God. and it's impossible to have a never-ending personal close relationship.
I'm quoting the writer of Hebrews there. That's a direct quote.
I know.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Okay, but you're using it to make a point, aren't you?
Of course. I'm a propagandist, aren't I?
Well, that or some sharp-talking lawyer.
No, what was it? Oh, yeah, snake oil peddler. Okay.
That's what it is. So, entrance to the Garden of Eden, called eternity, right now, this moment, is being rejoined with your perfect spirit parent. And that means having constant fellowship with him, her, or it. And again, begin right now. As with any relationship, it has to have a beginning. So that's our goal here, right? That's our state of purpose, that our entire job is to jump up and down, wave, do whatever it takes, wear a chicken suit and carry a billboard, saying, relationship with Daddy this way. But I'm not quite sure how that is going to lead me to reversing the aging process.
I'm not sure either yet. I'm confident it's going to, but I really don't know where I'm going yet.
The point of this article, I think you make very clear in the last paragraph, in the last sentence. And you say, what this means is, when we are confronted by a religious/education serpent telling us how to be wise, don't buy it. Instead, immediately say, Daddy, I don't know, help. I'm going to ask you, is the point of step two to help us to let go of preconceived notions?
Well, I didn't see it as a point, but I think that's always the best point. That's something I've been praying for years. Daddy, point out my preconceived notions and take away those that you don't want in me.
Right. So if we have preconceived notions of aging and dying, and they may not be true, it's time to go to Dad.
But that's always the point. The point is always go to Dad.
Okay.
So if we're off base, if Mr. Publisher, you're some evil man for even publishing this stuff that I'm writing, I would say that anybody that makes that claim had better be careful and say, Dad, what should I do with it? My experience has been, when I go to Dad with that, generally, I will hear the voice of my elder brother saying, what is that to you? You come follow me. And, you know, it's so exciting, this life we're living, because we're depending on Dad to lead us. And I know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I can learn, if I will listen carefully to what another person's perspective is, and they want Dad's will, I will learn something of value from them. And right now, it may just hit me totally wrong. If others would afford me the same courtesy, that's probably a bad word, because Eve says I'm never courteous. So as soon as I get on my
hobby horse,
I get wound up and won't listen to anybody or what they're saying, which is what I said to you in the last podcast. I think that I do what I accuse everyone else of doing.
But let's get to the point. What are we trying to accomplish here? We're trying to accomplish and help people who believe or who desire to reverse the aging process, help them to the first step. And the first step seems to be, go ask Dad if that's right for you.
There it is. Why didn't I say that?
You did.
I did?
Yeah.
Per usual, trying to grind it out of me. And it's like I told somebody recently. I said, you know, I'm not as wishy-washy as you think I am. It's just Ryan asked me some very specific questions from where he comes from, and I don't know how to answer those questions. That's all. I'm not trying to be evasive. I just don't know what the heck he's getting at or why.
Well, I believe that people want one of two things. How do I do it, and how much is it going to cost? Not necessarily dollars. I mean, it could. What's the price? And we talked about that in the last podcast, that there is a price.
Yeah, it's called change.
Right.
So, because when you tell the creator of the universe that you want her, him, it to take over your life, and that you want to live in the will of our spirit parent, you're in for some changes. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, I used to think that those changes had to do with vices, when in fact they had to do with mental processes and relationship. They really, you know, before I became in any form of relationship with the Creator, I thought, oh well, if I do that, I'll have to quit smoking and drinking and cussing and I don't know, whatever the bad things, lusting after women, you know, all those sort of things. But you know, I can't say that I've ever been asked to quit any of those things by anybody but the church.
Nobody else cares, including the Creator.
And the Creator of the universe really just wants to have a closer relationship, and that seems to be the correct, important factor as I move on in my life. How close am I? How much time am I spending? What am I inviting him into my process, my experience? But back to the story. Reversing the process of aging, so far we've covered up two basic elements of that. And the first one is what's the price? The price is be ready to accept change. The second one is don't hold on to any preconceived notions. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, best let go if your goal is to reverse the aging process. Would you agree?
Yeah, but see, that's basic to having a relationship with Daddy. Daddy, Mommy, you know, Spirit. I didn't enter into that relationship until I began saying, look, I want your will, period. But what Spirit revealed to me was, it's for my better good. What his will, his, her, his will for me is for my better good. That's a crazy phrase, and I don't understand it. But it may not be for you, but it's for me. And I live in constant joy unless I get disconnected because I allow myself to be frustrated or angry or get involved in my expectations of what I think how somebody else should operate. But if I get away from those crazy expectations and just stay focused on him, her, it, and Spirit will for my life, it's for my better good, it's for my best, for me. Now, I'm so confident in that because it's been such a vital experience in my life that I say, hey, if you want what Brad Collins wants, and I think I said last podcast, why on earth would you want to be like Brad Collins, an ugly old man? Well, now I can't say that anymore because you have chastened me and explained to me that I am getting younger every day, but if I'm going to spew out that kind of stuff, that I'm just putting up roadblocks and giving the enemy an opportunity to put one more wrinkle in my brow. So, did that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to anybody else, though. Just kidding.
Mr. Publisher, I'm just trying to please you in these conversations so that you'll keep publishing my stuff.
Well, you don't have to please me, friend. You have to please the people that read and listen to what we're saying. You must be saying something worthwhile. They understand because they keep coming. And so, final message. Daddy, I don't know beans. Help. So if you're with us on this journey of reversing the aging process, make sure you go to Daddy.
Hey, here's the point. Here's the point. It is just coming to me very clearly to say this right now. The reason Adam and Eve, mythical though the story may be, but the reason, the point of their being booted out of the Garden of Eden was because they thought that fruit they ate that made them see, oh boy, I can see, I'm like a god, and they had this knowledge that they had to hide from God. And they didn't have to hide from God. It's obvious from the narrative, and yet they did. And the point of all this is, of saying, I don't know beans, is Daddy help, because I don't want to make judgment. In fact, part three starts out with the fact what you don't know is the kind of the subtitle. The old saying is what you don't know can't hurt you. Well, the antithesis to that is what you do know can be detrimental to your spiritual health. Every time we think we know, then we go off on the track of our mind. I had an email today from a guy said, well, what you're saying is that everything you're saying is that healing is basically mental, not spiritual. The mind gets involved. Who cares? I don't know. I didn't argue. I just, you know, went back at him in a loving, kind way.
You mean sarcastically?
Who, me?
Hey, thanks, Brad. I'm looking forward to part three. You talked about it a bit. Now let's move on. I'm looking forward to it so we can get it out to people soon.
Now, I have one question I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
Did we put a splinter in the pew a little bit?
Well, your article does. I don't know if we did, but there's some things in there that we've said before that definitely put splinters.
That's what you said our job is.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.